We are still in our school of prayer, and what I want to share with us briefly today is titled God-Centered Praying. What did I call it?
God-Centered Praying.
Let me quickly get into the reason why I'm sharing that briefly, okay? Let me just get into the reason immediately. The reason is because, you know, when I was inspired to start doing this school of prayer, I didn't even realize what I was going to be tackling. I just wanted to start talking about prayer. But, you know, the more I think about it, the more I realize, let me say, the more I understand the reason why the Lord wanted us to start learning how to pray. Sometimes you appear as if, are you saying you're the only one that knows what you are saying? The truth is that you may not agree with me. What you are saying as a Christian may not be popular. It does not mean you are wrong. Being right does not mean you are in agreement with the majority. Do you understand my point? Being right means that you are in agreement with the word of God. And so sometimes, you know, when the Bible says that the word of God is profitable for correction, we need to correct ourselves. Why am I saying this? A lot of times I hear prayers. I just say it again today. I don't know if you are listening to this in 2020, maybe we'll have corrected ourselves and I will be wrong at that time. But as of today, 2014, looking back over the last few years, I think that most of the prayers that we pray in Christianity is unfortunate. It is not good. It does not work. Do you understand my point? It doesn't work, all right? And it's just unfortunate. That's why I'm talking about God-centered prayer. Just tune TV, all right, or go to church on Sunday and check the number of times the word the devil is used in prayer. Okay? I know you are rebuking him, but just try and check the number of times the word devil is used. Then get a concordance, all right? These days, we all use electronic concordance, all right, in our Bibles. Just go to your Bible software and type the word devil into the Old Testament. You will not see it one time, not once. It will not even pop up, okay? If you see the word Satan, will show up like 3 or 4 times. It is the Old Testament. I've not tried it, but I've tried devil, Old Testament, and it didn't show up at all. Satan, it shows up a few times, all right? Like in Genesis, in Job, you will see it. So Job constitutes more than half of the times you will see the name Satan in the Bible. Whether you type in adversary or Satan, but referring to that entity, the serpent that came into the garden, the reference to him either as serpent or adversary or as Satan is so few, the total will just come to maybe a dozen or so. Now, if you get into the New Testament, you will not see it used once when it comes to the matter of prayer. You won't see it. You won't see it. You will not see the church there focus on the devil. They hardly ever, you know, bothered with him. Let me say it again. Most of what we do is exalting the devil, not actually rebuking him. I need to emphasize that. When I'm talking about God-centered praying, that's what I want to emphasize. Your life is between you and God. Satan has no... Listen, what he tries to do, you know, I went to the New Testament and I saw the reference to the word devil, Satan, and all of that. Usually you will see when Peter, or was it James, that was talking about you, I think both of them, you will see that they emphasized that Satan is going around trying to tempt you. So you need to resist his temptation. So when he says resist the devil, what he was talking about is that you will see pride traps people. Now, very important, pride is a trap. It's a trap that Satan uses all the time. Okay? And for that reason, James now says that be careful. Let's open to it quickly. The book of James chapter 4. And then again, we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 5. My emphasis is that Christians have paid too much attention to the devil. Let's start quickly from James chapter 4. I'll start from verse 1, but I will quickly rush down to where I'm going, which is verse 7. So I just want to get it in context so we do not miss the point. From verse 1, it says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? It says, for that reason, you lost, you are envious, you can't obtain, therefore you resort to fighting and quarreling. Verse 3 says, you ask. He said, you know, at the end of verse 2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. In verse 3, it says, you ask and you do not receive because your motives are wrong. I'm paraphrasing as well as to save time. And that says in verse 4, you adulteresses. Being an adulteress now was referring to the matter of loving the world rather than loving Christ alone. He said, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So there, being an adulteress was talking about friendship with the world. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. He said, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, now notice this, God is supposed to be proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, it now goes down at the end of verse 10. It says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Now, I wanted to bring out the issue of resisting the devil there. If you see what he was talking about pride. God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Submit to God. Submission to God, he says, is resisting the devil, and the devil will flee from you. If you look at it in the context, what is the devil doing? He's drawing people towards the love of the world. And resisting the devil is by submitting to God. He told them simply at the end of, he said, verse 10, humble yourselves. Now, quickly, before I finish the comment in here, go to that portion of Peter, all right? 1 Peter chapter 5. I need to just get us to understand this, to emphasize the fact that Christians are often occupied wrongly. It's what I call an unholy preoccupation. Please bear these things we read from James just now in mind. The same thing Peter was saying, using different words. He says here, let me just quickly jump down to verse 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The same thing that James was quoting. He said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Was that not the same thing James was telling us just now? He said, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. The same thing James was saying. They were fighting because of their needs. Peter said, don't worry yourselves, cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. He says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. He said, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. All right? Now, why did I read this? To let you understand something. That you see, Paul and James and Peter here were emphasizing on the fact that Christians should humble themselves. That's what they were talking about. You know, sometimes a Christian is going through adversity. Now, listen to this one. What I'm saying is very, very correct. It's going through adversity. It's going through trouble. Now, you know, these are the things you hear a lot of times. Somebody will tell you that your mate, you know, I keep on saying that thing. That your mate at your age, you know, when they start saying that, then they start comparing themselves with other people. That is what the Bible calls friendship with the world. It's just the way it is. And actually, that's what the Bible now also calls pride. You know, so we start saying that my mate, they have done this. My mate, a lot of people, you know, you've heard the story I tell about all the time when Nigerians want to run abroad. Nothing wrong with going abroad. I keep on saying that, all right? If the missionaries did not run to Nigeria, the gospel wouldn't have reached here. It's the motive I am talking about. Somebody will tell you that, you know, by this age, you should have your own house, you should be driving your own car, you should have this, you should have that, you should have that. Once you start talking like that, you are having what the Bible calls friendship with the world, and you are becoming what he calls an adulteress. All right? Adulteress here is not a woman. It's just a Christian that has friendship with the world. Now, this is the point. What he was saying is that at each point in life, I like the way Bishop Oyedepo said it, He said, life is in seasons, men are in sizes. You must understand the season you are in life at any point in time. What's the devil trying to do? This is what I'm going to. What's the devil trying to do? He's trying to tempt you away and bring a picture before you to tell you this is what you could have. And that's where you resist the devil. People often try to resist the devil in Satan. You know, you want to take my money. I will fight you. You will leave my money alone. You know, you see, try and read the scriptures and see the mind with which the apostles taught us. You understand? That was not their issue. Christians, you know, the prayer is always on the people who are afflicting me. You will never find that in the Bible. People praying, Christians praying against those who are, it's a lie. Lie, 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 lie. It's a lie. Nobody has the power to afflict a Christian. No witch, nothing, not the devil. The only thing the devil can do is to try and entice you. You know, if you read this book, Triumphant Church, by Kenneth E. Hagin, Triumphant Church, go and read the book. Go and read the book. Look for it. Read it. I mean, if you think everything I teach, you know, is because Pastor Bank has this anointing. Revelation goes to drop. Yes, Revelation drops, amen. There are times I'm teaching here, I will get home, my wife will say to me, wow, I'm hearing that for the first time. I'll say, it's not only you, it's two of us. You understand? As we're hearing it for the first time, so was I hearing it for the first time. And I'm the one preaching it. Do you understand? That happens. However, this point I'm making, most of the thing I know, I read. That's why you will never hear me preach for 1 hour. I won't drop two or three names. It's not possible. Most of the things I know, I read. Christians are total, these days, the level of ignorance is frightening. It's frightening. It is frightening. And there is no other way to cure the ignorance than to be disciplined to learn. You have to spend your time and your money, buy a book. Go somewhere where they are preaching. Do you understand? Buy a tape, borrow a tape, exchange a tape, collect books. These days, just go on the online. Everything is there free. You need the discipline to read it. That just by the way. Listen, if you read, you will not be confused. So that book, Triumphant Church, Kenneth Hagin talked about, because he was a prophetic teacher, all right? He was a prophet and a teacher. He used to get understanding from visions and revelations. And the Lord will appear to him and teach him things. And those things happen in the Bible. That's how Paul understood all the things that he taught us, all right? Of course, he interacted with Peter and James and John after a long time. But basically, everything he taught were things that the Lord appeared to him afterwards and taught him. And this is a man in modern times that had that experience. And one of the things that the Lord taught him was how demons get into the lives of Christians. Now, let's not split hairs now over using certain words. But what I want to bring out is a particular story he told in there on how a woman was taken over by evil spirits. And she was a good, well, I don't know, let me know. He did not say good. I'm the one putting the word good now. She was a good Christian at the beginning. I don't want to use that to emphasize a point. But she was a Christian married to a pastor. And she was a good musician. That one, he said it, could sing very well. And she was a very beautiful woman. In fact, according to her, to him, in the book, and many of his books, he told the story, she was the kind of person that when she entered the place, you turned to look. She was very strikingly beautiful, all right? And she was a pastor's wife and a music minister. So when she grabs microphone like this, you know, her voice, will resound. And this was what happened to her. This, I'm telling the story, looking at this story from James, all right, and from Peter. What happened to her? Satan will come to her and say to her, and he was watching it like a film. The Lord was allowing the thing play before him. All right, the devil will come, sit on her shoulder and begin to talk to her. What was he telling her? You know, you're a very beautiful woman. And you're a very talented woman. Were it not for this church thing you are doing, you could have made a lot of money. Listen, all those girls that used to be in church, all those men that will go in church, after they don't sing for church, go and sing in the world. That's what happened. A lot of them, that's what happened. Because, you see, in your life, money must never dictate what you do. Once that telling you that if you did it here, you'll make more money. Just know you are beginning to listen to Satan. Did you hear what I said? Satan is beginning to talk to you. Once the primary thing is, You will make more money. Just know Satan is now, he has come to visit. This Satan was telling this woman, that little devil, sit on her ears, on her shoulder, and whisper to her ears, "You're a very beautiful woman." If he was in the world now, people like you, now I'm adding many words to explain what he said properly, all right? People like you will be on television, waiting. Then imagine she will sit down and say, "Okay, what is this Rihanna girl singing that you can't sing?" Satan will help the woman open the website. How much money Jay-Z made last year? $60 million. Show you what Beyonce made last year. What are they singing that you can't sing? Now, go and read the book. I can't tell all the stories, all right? Initially, the woman understood, according to the narration there, that it was the devil. So she rebuked the devil. And listen, rebuke the devil today, the guy does not go away. He goes to and what? Fro. Mm-hmm. Wait for the fro. When you rebuke him today, don't think you have conquered like that. It's an irritation. What did I call him? An irritation. You know, if somebody, it's like ants in your house. You know, you fumigate, you think you have cured all the ants. Wait. Zoom it back. The only thing I can tell you convincingly, all right, that I'm convinced about, is that the more you rebuke and stand in faith, the longer the intervals between his going and coming, and the weaker the assault each time he comes back. The Lord Jesus was not tempted only 3 times. So that story you read is a summary. In fact, one of the men I read this commentary, his name is Bollinger. He has this Bible called the Companion Bible. Bollinger will tell you that there are 2 separate accounts in the Gospels, that they are not the same. And that was why in one encounter, the Lord, in the second temptation, was jumped down. And that was a third in another encounter. In both of them, turn the stones to bread was number 1. Bollinger said the Bible is always accurate. They don't conflict. If they look like they are different, they are 2 different things. And if you know how to interpret scriptures, you read through it, you will see that many times they keep coming back. When they come trying to make him king, that was still the same temptation that was still showing up. So this woman, I was telling the story, she will go, the Satan will go, the that little demon will go and come back. Then after a while, she began to brood. And the devil, according to him, left the shoulder and moved into her head. It now became an obsession. She had no other thoughts now than, in the world, I could have been famous. Maybe she comes for a program now. They just say, sit at the back. See, if Beyonce were to come here, would they tell her to sit at the back? Is she singing more than me? Let's make a long story short. After a while, she divorced her husband, began to sing in clubs, became a worldly musician. Now, I'm not going to tell the story beyond that point. If you want to read the rest of it, go and get the book, The Triumphant Church. All right? The whole story is in there. And it's something that really happened. You know, there are parables. This one really happened. The Lord just showed it to him by revelation and used it to teach him lessons. Some of the people he saw, he knew personally. After, of course, by the time she divorced her husband, or married, joined with this man today, just became another Samaritan woman. Just one husband today, another one tomorrow. And then one day came to church and just shouted, all kind of nonsense. Make a long story short, the devil now fully took charge of her life. Why did I tell the story about the woman and the demon and satanic oppression and possession and disturbances? It's to let you see what Satan was doing. Satan was not there to steal her money. There was no witch from one village telling her she will not prosper. Listen, let me tell you again. If you're a Christian here, say amen.
Amen.
If you're an unbeliever and you're going to hellfire, say amen. All right, so there is no unbeliever here. So if you are here and you said amen, hear me. I don't want to hear any explanation from your spirit there. Do you understand? Just hear me and believe me. Because you know why you should believe me? I'm telling the truth. What I'm saying is correct. It is the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So hear me. Don't explain. No. No witch can afflict you.
Amen.
Your problem is not caused by one person somewhere who's raising an altar. You know, that is one joke in modern day Christianity. All the altars that have been raised against me, keep on raising it now. Now you won't kill cow. I destroyed them. What's my problem? Did you ever hear the children of Israel destroy the altars of Balaam? Why are you behaving like you don't have work? Some of this Christianity these days is joblessness. You know, Aliko Dangote can't do some of our Christianity. The man is busy. You know, if you have work to do, there's some prayers you can pray. All this joblessness. The point is let me, you know, I was making some statements. Don't worry. No witch anyway. If they let them raise 10,000 altars, it cannot affect your destiny. Amen. Say amen now, like you believe what I'm saying.
Amen.
Thank you. Listen. Whether you pray about them or not is not what I'm talking about. Now, here another one. It's a waste of your time to be paying attention to the altars raised against you. It is a waste of what?
Time.
Where are your examples in the Bible? Most of the people who are praying against altars, they are feeding with Satan. That is, the devil is their friend. They say, oh boy, Lucy, you don't come? Yeah, sit down there. Okay. They will serve the food of Lucifer. Lucifer take one spoon, they take one spoon, they will chop it. What do I mean? Pride. We have seen. Do you understand my point? Pride and friendship with this world are spiritual adultery. That is their issue. They are, you know, what are they doing? Look, listen, all my friends are building houses. It is now my time. And that's what Satan said. Yes, it's your time. You don't have enough money. It's not your fault. It's the economy. It's the government. So if you take their money and steal it, what is the thing? After all, they are the ones that caused it. Yes, it is true. He justifies his corruption. Then he goes around and says, all the altars raised up against me. Satan says, yes, fight them. Fight the altars. It is the altars. It's not you. It's those altars. And of course, oh, I like modern day pastors. You will now sow a seed to fight the altar. What is the size of the cow that you are going to use to sacrifice? I heard a man say it once. He said, when they sacrifice cow, I sacrifice Mercedes Benz. Which one is more expensive? That I have a greater sacrifice on the altar. Oh my God, confusion in Christianity. You put a Mercedes Benz on an altar, you are out of your mind. Have you ever seen that? He said that he entered the Holy of Holies with petrol. Have you ever seen it? And he brought that engine out and diesel and began to sprinkle the holy place. No, you know, that's what we do. That's what we do. And I say, you're raising an altar. 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 It is a current, you know, I've seen, did that distraction started about 2 years ago. 7 altars, 8 altars. Some say altars, they are servicing at 12 minutes. I've heard all kinds of things. As your enemies are servicing their altars, you too will be servicing your altar. Your enemies are giving you work to do. Let me say it to you again. In Christ Jesus, you have been set free.
Amen.
Whether you know about altars or not, they can't affect you. Pastor Bank, you know there are altars. What concerns me? There are mountains. What concerns me? There are valleys. There is erosion spot. Does that one affect me? There are all kinds of things in this world. Let me say one more thing to you. You know, say I told you, anybody enters this door, you don't enter. See this door that leads to the place where I'm preaching. You have a choice of two. Either you enter or you don't enter. Once you enter, you have entered. And that entering that you don't enter, you know when we say in pidgin English, say you don't enter. Yes, I'm going to, when you finish listening to me, you had better believe me or you're in trouble. Yes, because I'm going to say some things to help you clear your brain, your soul, and give you the liberty that Jesus gave you already. When I say you have entered, you know, I told you last time on Saturday that the word of God doesn't leave you the same. Bishop Oyedepo said, no prophecy from God leaves you the same. Either bringing you up or taking you down. So once some words come forth, it's not a matter of I don't agree. It's a matter of obedience or disobedience. And disobedience has a just recompense. So I want to give you one. Before I give it to you, let me give you the foundation so you have faith to believe it and obey it. And this is the foundation. We're laying it again, the same thing. One, in Christ Jesus, you have been set free. There, here, and amen.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus has been shed for your sake. There, here, and amen.
Amen.
That blood washed off every handwriting that was written against you.
Amen.
That blood makes it impossible for the devil to hold you.
Amen.
It makes it impossible. It washed away your sins. It washed away your ancestral curses. And that blood, this is interesting about it. That blood was not only shed before the foundation of this world, it is constantly being presented before the judgment seat of God. That blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary till now is effective. The Bible says he ever lives, all right, to make intercession for all those who will draw near to God through him. Listen, it is by that blood that you have confidence. It is that by that blood you have righteousness. It's by that blood that you have been set free and made clean so much that you can enter before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. It is by that blood that you have been totally set free. That blood is effective till today. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
It is working on you till today. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
For that reason, if you sacrifice any nonsense sacrifice on any altar to fight your enemies, you are sacrificing to the devil. That's what I wanted to say. So when you leave here, if anybody tells come and bring money on an altar to fight your enemies, just know that that money you are giving to Satan. I pray for you that your bones will not break, but you will suffer for it. You know, Godayo, I have prayed for you now that you will not die, but you will wound. Listen, the only offering you can offer now, we've discussed it before. Please go and listen to our series, Christ the Final Truth and the Cross of Christ. The only offering you can offer now, there are two. One, your whole life must be lived for Christ. That is a living sacrifice. The second one is sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving. So just wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I thank you. So just wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I thank you. You are going to bed at night to say, Lord, I worship you. Thank you for your freedom. Do you understand my point? To every day of your life, just be uttering thank you, giving him praise. Say, Lord, you are the most high. He said, why are you running up and down? Is it because of Ebola? Say, no, I'm running to go and hear the word of God. Say, Ebola is coming. Say, I can't run because of Ebola. When Ebola hears what I'm, you know, Ebola will be running. Once you see where you are standing, it will take the other direction. The Bible says, looking for whom he may, you know, who's available, who will agree. Say, I have refused to agree. What is the sacrifice? The only sacrifice you can offer now is what I was talking about. You wake up in the morning, you lift up the name of God. God, I thank you. You are the one that has brought me to another day. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for victory. Listen to me. All things that I'm telling you, that is what I do. I have never, ever, before the gospel became popular, that's a gospel, because before the bad news became popular, I already knew the scriptures. This bad news of raise altar and be feeding your altar. Some people actually raise physical altar. You haven't seen it? Christians have gone mad. They've really... Some of them actually have physical altar. You go to their house, they have a particular place. They can put a Gideon's Bible there. It's idolatry. You know, go? It's idolatry. I told you, I have stopped being nice. So now I will say things the way they are. If you offer any offering now, because your enemies are offering something, don't let a man who has been hired to come and raise money collect your money. Such a man, that's why it starts coming with all kinds of doctrines. Like my friend called me the other day from Port Harcourt, or sent me a message that the pastor of their church said that some people have gone to offer sacrifice on your behalf, and the gods are now chasing you about, asking for the balance. This wasn't a Pentecostal church. That they went to go and pledge cow and goat. And that, listen to this, listen to the lie, that the sacrifice of Jesus only redeemed you from the curse of the law. Every other curse you have to walk by yourself to redeem yourself from it. So right now, you will take the cost of the sacrifice. And that is goat or cow, you will bring it to the altar. I'm warning you from today. If you respond to any of that nonsense, you have responded to Satan. That your offering is being offered to foreign gods, and you will not go without blame. Why? Because I warned you. Why do you let people use fear to drive you up and down? What I'm telling you, I've said it under God. I don't lie to you. What am I lying about? I asked my wife. She and I married for 15. She's never heard me pray. All the altars raised up against us. All the devils are after us. The only devil that's after me is the one that's trying to tempt me. That is the one I have to be careful of. That's the one that tells me that, listen, all your mates have attained this rank. What are you still doing? That's the one that tells you that, listen, look, if you do this like this, your ministry will grow faster. And you know that's not the right way. That's the one that tells you, don't take nonsense for your wife. Oh. That's the Satan, that's the devil I need to be careful of. The ones that tell me that without a title, I will not be respected. These are things I've heard. One brother told me that if you don't start a church, they won't respect you. I say, I'm not starting this ministry for respect. All of you know why I started it, so that I can disseminate the truth of God. That's why we'll keep on hanging it on the internet, printing books, doing what we can to push the truth out. We started for respect. That's the Satan I should be afraid of. As for the villagers who don't want me to prosper, have they prospered themselves? Like God dared them. Declare a thing and make it come to pass. Let's know you have power. That is why if anybody comes to me and says that, I saw in a vision that this is the person who's afflicting you. Look, this is Nigeria, it's not America. I will not be charged for assault. I will slap you. One man came and met our good friend, Pastor Okemute, said that he had a dream. Okemute is a redeemed pastor. And God revealed to him that only two people are going to heaven in redeem. So Okemute said, no problem. Since I'm one, the rest of you can go and compete for the second. You, the dreamer, and anybody else. Don't you, my friend? Look, he said only two people are going to heaven in redeem. The whole of redeem. No problem. I'm not quarreling with you. But I just know one position is my own. You, prophet, and everybody else, fight for the second position. Come on. I've seen too many people. Christians are more afraid of the devil than anything else. Wake up in the morning and give Satan all kinds of names, unscriptural names. In Kubu, Sukubu, Sekudu, Sikudu, Singadus, Budugis, Gilaga, all kinds of spirits. They don't exist. 99% don't exist. Go and read your Bible. Demons don't have proper names. They only have names of the affliction they cause. Read your scriptures. Only angels have names. Michael. Gabriel. As we see, spirit is always spirit of infirmity, lying spirit, deaf and dumb spirit. Not incubus and succubus. Open your Bible. All these demons, you hear their names in the Bible. They are demons. They are of this. Do you see the problem they are causing? So come and tell me to learn the names of evil spirits. Is it Asmundi? And Asmundius. I don't believe a word of it. Not one word. Say, woman, I was in a cult. You see, you have left the cult. Better leave those things behind. Don't bring it to Christianity.
Someone when the Ogboni, we used to wake up at 2 a.m. between 2 and 4. That's how you used to afflict people. Were you able to afflict me between 2 and 4? Were you able? In fact, that's the time you can't afflict me because I'm not subject to temptation at that time. Most of the time I'm sleeping. Listen, I've been married for 15 years. The only temptation I can fall for, I paid for it. Ask my wife. Most of the time she's sleeping beside me there. So what is the problem? What are you talking about? 2 to 4 a.m., you can't tempt me. I'm not in a bar.
You understand my point?
I'm at home. Okay, temptation, bring it. I like it. That's rubbish. The demons, they wake up between 2 and 4 a.m. And Christians won't sleep again. They want to be modulating the activity of evils of the demons of darkness. Like I told you, because you are not going to work tomorrow morning. If you were going to work in the morning, you go sleep now. This night vigil on Wednesday night, it's obvious those who go there, they don't have work on Thursday. Ha! God. You know, I told you my message today is titled God-centered praying. I'm dragging us away from devil-centered praying. Remember I told you one young woman came to me once and said I should pray for her. I went to preach. That my friend were talking about it. I was telling you about it earlier. I invited him for a program in one campus in Anambra State. On a campus, when I finished, I was just sitting under the tree, waiting for them to get some things together before we start leaving. In car, and I pray for me, sir. I said, what is the problem? She said, I had a dream. What is the dream? That my mother gave me egg to eat. I said, what now happened? Is it the cholesterol that's your problem? I didn't say it like that there, no. I'm just telling you that now. I said, what now happened? Said that in the dream, I swallowed the egg. It hasn't gone down. Since that time, it's been in my chest.